this, a call rang out across the land. Blair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Blair Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Yes, it's another beautiful Tuesday as we creep ever closer to Christmas. There, I said it. Christmas, Chris. But that's what we say when we're adversarial with liberals on the American Adversaries News Talk Drive Time. Chris, take over for me here.
Okay, as you can tell, folks, Lair is a little bit out of breath, and his voice is a little bit out. He's going to put some Roxy on it. As soon as he comes back, we'll get him back on the air. That's right, folks, you are listening to the American Adversaries. It is Drive Time, once again, on a beautiful autumn afternoon here in Central Florida. And, boy, enjoy this weather, because a lot of folks up north of us are really catching it. And they're going to get some more of it, too, because, you know, global warming's making things so cold. You know, there was a record low temperature measured in Antarctica of about, I think it was 135 degrees below zero. Record low ever temperature ever measured here on this planet. Well, of course, that has to be the result of global warming. Well, we'll do that another day. Okay, today, folks, we got a lot to do. Our man from Israel, from Jerusalem, who's presently in the United States, is going to be with us. Of course, that's Abe Katzman, and he's going to join us here shortly. Nostra Dennis is probably going to join us at the bottom of the hour as well. And, of course, you can join us and be a part of today's show. The phone number is 407-774-8255. And don't forget to keep that phone and that number close, because we are going to give away another bottle of Roxy Pacifics today, folks. That's right. A free bottle of Roxy Pacifics on the rocks. That's right. On the rocks, because it is from Roxy Pacifics. Okay. As I said, we got a lot to talk about today, and I want to welcome Lair back into the saddle, and we appreciate having you folks out there as well. And there's some rumors coming out. You may hear it. I'm sure they're going to be talking about it if you watch any of the TV shows tonight, but it looks like there is a deal, or very, very close to a deal, to fund the government for not one, but 2 years. Yes, years, I did say, not months. But we don't know the details of it yet. And by the way, we're working hard to get Senator Ron Johnson on the show. It looks like it's probably going to be Monday. But we'll get him, because he does sit on the Senate side of the committee that is putting this deal together. It looks like the sequester may it may undergo some changes. They're working to ease some of the sequester cuts, which are the only things that are actually making the budget go down right now. However, it is gouging our military in supposedly trade for some kind of cost savings on the non-discretionary spending. You must understand that what they're talking about right now is a budget that's going to be somewhere around $1 trillion, give or take a 10 or, you know, 20 billion, which is going to be simply the discretionary spending. This has to do with everything that is not Social Security, Medicare, or Medicaid. So they're trying to do something. Well, as I said, we don't know the details yet. All we know is it looks like there is going to be a deal. There is no stomach on either side of the aisle for another government shutdown, or even evidently to even get close to it.
So who caves?
It appears appears that both sides, from what all I can glean from it, Nancy Pelosi came up with a last-minute demand that unemployment benefits, the one-time extension of unemployment benefits, be extended once again another time, and that's not going to happen. And if they can get the offsets for the sequester out of some kind of savings from the entitlement programs, that might be a huge victory for the Republicans. We shall see. As I said, the deal is not yet announced, or it may be being announced as we are on the air right now, but it is going to be announced very soon, or at least something. Now, will it actually pass? It appears as though the leadership of both parties are ready to ram it through. And as we oftentimes say, politics is a lot like professional wrestling, when all the stuff that we see is mostly for show and that the real deals are made in the back room.
Well,
and
sure.
That's what's been going on here.
Well, because, Chris, now it makes it hard to blame anybody. Hey, if we all work together, gosh, that ruins the whole process of blaming the other side.
And I think both parties want to get on next year to the business of the 2014 elections. The Republicans want to get on to the business of ramming the Democratic Party broadside with Obamacare. And the Democratic Party wants to do everything they can to try to salvage Obamacare and their careers.
Now, Chris, now you did hear recently that Obamacare is a racial term, right?
Well, I don't care, because we're going to use it here.
That was that gal on MSNBC.
I know, though, some stupid idiot. But they can say anything they want, and it's not going to bother me.
They do.
You know, as long as we're not cursing or hateful, we're going to say it. All right, so we'll find out when the deal's done or when we can see what it is. We'll talk about it, but it appears as though that is going to happen, for better or worse. The most conservatives and, by the way, the most liberals are the ones who are being sort of aced out of this. And it is the more establishment types who have put this deal together, and that would indicate to me that it's most likely going to go through. But, as I said, we don't even know what it is yet, so just a warning. Now, what we do know is that Barack Obama, along with George W. Bush and Laura Bush, and, of course, Michelle, and Bill and Hillary Clinton, they were at Roli Halahla Mandela's memorial today. Roli Halahla, by the way, is his real first name. You weren't here Sunday night, Lair, so...
No, I heard of it, but that's okay.
It's like I told Carl, I had to rehearse saying that name so many times, I want to make sure I, you know, get my
one more time,
my
let's hear
out
it.
Roli Halahla.
Roli
Roli Halahla.
Halahla.
You spell it R-O-L-I-H-L-A-H-L-A. Roli Halahla. Mandela. It was more commonly known, obviously, as Nelson. But what's... disgusting is one word that comes to mind. Comical is another word that comes to mind. Pitiful is another word that comes to mind. This president going over there and once again trying to walk in another man's footsteps, in the shadow of another man or on the shoulders of another man, this time Nelson Mandela. And, oh, did you know that, first of all, it's Nelson Mandela's fault that we have President Obama as the president of the United States?
It's his fault.
His fault. That's right, because it was from an inspiration that Barack Obama got from Nelson Mandela that I'd never heard of before that, invited him into the political world. And now we were told today by none other than Mr. Barack Obama himself that Barack Obama runs his presidency like Nelson Mandela ran his. Did you know that?
Gosh, I didn't know that.
Well, for somebody who doesn't know anything about how Nelson Mandela ran his presidency, that might seem like a plausible truth. But in fact, it is another one of those lies. Just another flat-out lie. And either that or Obama doesn't care or doesn't know how, what kind of man Mandela was when he was a president. Now, if he was talking about Nelson Mandela earlier in life when he was a rebel and a guerrilla and a terrorist, which is why he ended up in prison, okay? Yeah.
Self-proclaimed terrorist, Chris.
Yeah, because they had become Marxist, and he was with the ANC. The ANC was to get rid of apartheid, and they were going to do it whatever means they were going to do it. And whoever was going to help him, that was going to be their great friend. So if he's talking about that period in Mandela's life, I might see some, truth in it. But in fact, as a president, Mandela was quite the bipartisan. He was not the partisan person. He knew that he could not be in South Africa. If he was that way, it would result in a civil war, which is where most of those countries, really all of them but South Africa, end up when these political changes happen. I mean, how many of those countries are in civil war because they are in perpetual civil war?
And the complaint is what Europeans did to change that country and alter everything and really screw up these people's lives, when these people seem to take advantage of everything they've learned, everything that the society, Western society, brought them.
Well, because Nelson Mandela was a different kind of guy. Okay, he said, we're going to do things different. I'm not going to be taking retribution. Like, by the way, his wife did. But he chose a different path, and he chose the path of reaching out to his adversary. He actually brought, I believe it was Botha or de Klerk, I forget which one, but he actually brought them into the government as a assistant premier.
Invited the warden that was over the prison he was at to his inauguration.
He was not the divisive figure that Barack Obama is.
Exactly.
And for Barack Obama to say...
He was much more uniting.
And for Barack Obama to say that he runs his presidency the way Mandela did is just another out-and-out lie. Okay. And by the way, the handshake with Raul, hey, all that tells me is that, hey... Barack Obama's right at home with political thugs.
And maybe he can kiss off a large Cuban vote here in South Florida.
Well, he's already, I believe, kissed off a lot of Americans. All right, somebody who won't kiss us off is Abe Katzman, our man from Jerusalem in the United States tonight, and we'll be talking with him next. So please don't go away, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries. 407-774-8255 is the number. Hang on to that. Don't forget, on the rocks, Roxy Giveaway.
The battle is heating up. You're listening to the American Adversaries on 660 WORL, if you can take it.
Okay, welcome back, folks. And don't forget, you still have time to go out and get a toy and take it over to the Apopka Police Department and drop it off over there for the Loaves and Fishes Toy Drive. They're looking for basically any kind of toy, but Legos, Barbies, footballs, basketballs, Barbie clothes. Larry even gave up some of his Barbie clothes collection. But it's over there, Apopka Police Department. And please tell them it's for the 200 Squad, and that's 112 East 6th Street. That's just south at the intersection of Main and Park Avenue.
I didn't give away anything with lace or the Velveteen.
So. Okay, you got to hang
taffeta.
On.
Taffeta. I let him have the taffeta.
Yeah, you got to hang on to that real expensive stuff. Okay, so you still have this evening to do that, and I appreciate you folks helping us out. We also appreciate this next man, because he's a regular on our show, and he really educates us and you folks out there. And, of course, I'm talking about Abe Katzman, and you find his work at abekatzman.com and on soundbiterx.com. Welcome to the show, Abe. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Excellent, excellent. Whereabouts in the country are you?
I am in New York City, where it is snowing.
Is that right? Wow. Yeah, really getting some seasonal weather here in New York City.
Yeah, Abe, I got to tell you, buddy, it's really tough. Here, I sweated. I mean, I think it got up to 84 or 85 today here in nasty old Florida. It was really tough, buddy.
Oh, I tell you what.
That's mean.
I'm
sorry.
You're missing. There's slush on the street. I don't have any of that.
Oh, boy.
You don't find, you don't get much snow in Israel, do you?
Hey, it's funny you should mention. They are expecting, snow is unusual there, but they're actually expecting some at the end of the week.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. It snows every couple of years.
I see. There's an article in today's Wall Street Journal. Chuck Hagel has admitted what I believe everybody kind of already knew, but the Obama administration's policy on Iran is not prevention of nuclearization, but containment. Does that come to any surprise to you?
Well, when he said it, it was considered a misstatement. I believe he corrected the record immediately. But it turns out that there's probably more truth to it than people at the time realized. No, that seems to be what it looks like. And in fact, the administration seems to be fighting to allow Iran as much leeway as possible. Congress is trying to ratchet up some sanctions, and the administration is dead set against it. Secretary Kerry has warned all the lawmakers that applying what he called gratuitous pressure.
Gratuitous.
Tehran, gratuitous, yes, could give Tehran an excuse to back out of the deal. Now, what they're talking about are sanctions that would take place if Iran doesn't stick by the terms of the deal. And we don't even know if there really is a deal. You know, they don't seem to have worked out the details yet of whether they actually have any kind of binding deal or what the nature of it is.
Yeah.
But assuming that there is a deal and assuming that the clock starts running sometime soon, these sanctions don't kick in until the six-month period is over, and that's if Iran does not comply. So I'm not sure why the administration is so dead set against sanctions like this. One only can conclude that they just want no more involvement. They really want to let Iran do whatever Iran wants to do, and they don't want to take responsibility for it.
That's what it looks like, because you would think that these sanctions, these proposed sanctions that, as you say, would only take effect at the end of the 6 months and only if Iran didn't live up to their end of the bargain, you would think that that's exactly what the administration's been talking about, because what did they say? They say that these sanctions that have been loosened could be ratcheted right back up. You would think it'd be right in line with that, and it would be leverage that they could use against the Iranians to say, now listen, you really ought to be behave yourself, because look what Congress is getting ready to do. So it does seem to betray some sort of lie going on here, Abe.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that the public is starting to see things this way also. I think the more that the public has started to pay attention to it, the more the poll numbers are shifting to racist. Like this one survey that showed that 62% of Americans who are familiar with the deal say that Iran is not serious about complying with its terms.
Abe, when your only threat is, all right, we'll go back to the way it was before, that to me, that's just not a genuine enough threat.
Yeah, and I think the American public has more the Iranian view of the deal than the administration view of the deal. This article today points out three or four points. I'll just do one or two here. Where did you see Obama at the Brookings Institution? What was it, Friday or Saturday, Abe?
I saw pieces of it. I didn't see the entire interview.
All right. Well, evidently, at one point, in terms of the Iraq facility, that's ARAK, where they're going to have a nuclear reactor which will produce plutonium, Barack Obama said, "We are stopping the advancement of the Iraq facility." Pretty straightforward, just like you can keep your doctor, okay? The reality, in the article says, the reality, as Iranian Foreign Minister Javad Zarif bluntly pointed out, is that, and I quote him now, construction will continue at Iraq. So it's like the administration is telling everybody one thing, but then they can turn around, just like with Obamacare, now also with Iran, they can see the truth so plainly is not what the administration is saying, Abe.
That really seems to be the case. The Iraq reactor is a great example of it. I mean, this is a reactor that has no civilian purpose. The only thing it is there for is to produce plutonium bombs. And there's something very wrong when we start relying or considering the statements of the Iranians to be more reliable than the statements of the President of the United States. That is not a good situation.
No, it absolutely is not, in particular for our allies like Israel and other allies in the region and really all over the world.
And everybody's
watching this.
And everybody's sick of this spin job, this sales job that they do for everything.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll rename it the Barak reactor.
Yeah.
That's a darn good idea.
Careful, you're going to be called a racist.
Just don't be saying Obamacare. And then also the president said at the Brookings, there is nothing in this agreement or document that grants Iran a right to enrich. Now, John Kerry has said the same thing. And yet they turn around and allowed Iran to continue to enrich.
It's written on paper now.
It may not be a simple statement in the agreement that says you have the right, but it all obviously tacitly gives them that right.
Yeah, it says basically while you're enriching it.
Yeah.
Or if you're enriching it, well, you have to follow these rules.
I don't know what else to say.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. It's very disturbing. And it's, again, so disturbing that what they can't even be straight with what this deal is. There's so much spin. And, you know, why are they trying to spin the American people on this deal with Iran? Just negotiate. Just be tough. And they just refuse to be.
They
will not be strong.
I don't think they know how to be, Abe. I really don't.
Or is there an agenda?
All right. Stay with us, please, though, Abe. And we'll be right back after the break to continue this conversation. And we'll go into Syria. I also want to talk about Yasser Arafat being poisoned. We'll be right back.
Here is tonight's American Adversary SoundbiteRx.com News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Tonight's SoundbiteRx.com News Minute is being brought to you by Lake Mary Jewelers. For that special gift, for that special someone, go to Lake Mary Jewelers at the intersection of Lake Mary Boulevard and Lake Emma Road. Call them today, 407-878-6230. Now, here's Christopher Hart with Ted Boger of SoundbiteRx.com.
Ted, our longtime ally, the Saudi Arabians, have been furious with President Obama over his ignoring and then mishandling the situation in Syria. And now, with this new deal with Iran, SoundbiteRx.com has picked up a story that says our ally is ready to go it alone.
That's correct. I mean, Chris, this just gets worse every day for the Obama administration with our allies in the Middle East. The Saudis have actually called for a Gulf Union because, as their assistant foreign minister said, the Gulf countries can no longer depend on others to ensure their safety. And, of course, that's a direct hit against the United States, since the United States signed the Iran agreement in Geneva and basically really upset Saudi Arabia, and that is being light on it, Chris. And they can't. They have in their backyards Iran, who is a completely cuckoo, and they don't know what to do with that kind of cuckoo power. And so the United States has always been on their side, always been their supporter, and they blindsided them, did all this dealings behind their backs, and now they want to form a Gulf Union.
And this, a lot of experts believe, may just result in a Middle East arms race.
That's correct. They control the Gulf states that we're talking about, control 40% of the world's oil reserves and a quarter of its natural gas. They're coming to play. They realize how serious this situation is, and now they realize that the one ally they thought that they could count on, the United States with Obama as our leader, they no longer can count on for any kind of real support.
And you're right. They have the money to play and play big. All right. Thanks, Ted. Folks, you'll find this story and lots more at SoundbiteRx.com. So please, take that cure for ignorance. Go to SoundbiteRx.com. It's good medicine. We'll be right back.
Folks, I'm WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And if you really want to find out what's going on in America, check out the American Adversaries. Tough guy. Ho!
And here we go, folks, the American Adversaries. I am Christopher Hart, and along with my co-host, Lair Adams, who's back in the saddle tonight, we're live with you, and along with our man, Abe Katzman, in New York City tonight. 407-774-8255 is the number if you'd like to be a part of the show. And I tell you what the heck, let's go ahead and give away that bottle of Roxy Pacifics tonight. This is on the rocks, folks. That's right. Ed Roxy is providing every show between now and Christmas a bottle of Roxy Pacifics free for you. If you're the first caller at 407-774-8255. It's an all-natural kelp water, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory. This stuff's good for just about anything that ails you. Lair's using it on his laryngitis. He sounds 100%. Last night,
yesterday,
guy couldn't even talk.
The afternoon, I mean, I was on the phone. Chris couldn't even understand me.
I'm telling you what. I tell you, if I didn't kind of know half what him, you know, we kind of know each other well enough. We already kind of know what each other can say, but he really was in
three shots on my throat yesterday and four shots today, and it's so much better.
And by the way, Abe, yours is going to be waiting for you when you get back home in Jerusalem, because Ed's already sent it over to you.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Abe, I don't know if you heard the Soundbite News Minute, but today we put up a piece that came from the French press that seems to indicate that Saudi Arabia is ready to just not totally do away with their relationship with the United States, but to set off more or less on their own. And this may very well result in some sort of arms race in the Middle East beyond the nuclear arms race. I'm talking about conventional arms race. Is Israel fearful of this happening?
It depends what direction it goes. Israel would be very happy if the Saudis became a counterweight to the Iranians, but would not be so happy if that counterweight turns around and becomes a threat to Israel. The Saudis have a lot of ultra-modern military equipment. They are either the biggest or second biggest purchaser of American military equipment. They don't use the military much, but it seems that it should be ready to go.
I remember,
whenever needed, that's going to be good.
And you're absolutely right. It is the most modern. I remember reading accounts of the first Iraq War, Iraq Desert Storm, and their airports are for military aircraft are the most modern in the world. And our Air Force generals and Air Force personnel were just, you know, so envious that they're far more advanced in their airports and their hangars and stuff like that than we have here in the United States. So they're already well on their way. Would Israel feel the need itself to ramp up its arms development?
I don't know that there's anything that they can ramp up. The one thing that they have going that they're already accelerating as much as possible is their missile defense system. They have a three-tiered system.
Iron Shield, yeah.
The Iron Dome seems to work very well. And then there's the Arrow, which is for longer-range missiles that has done well in its tests. And then the intermediate-range missile defense is called David's Sling. And they're still testing and developing that one. It doesn't mean, though, that they're protected from all kinds of threats. It would just mean, even if they develop those, that they're protected from ballistic missiles.
Now, are you
conventional threats?
Is Israel developing these weapons, or are they purchasing them from the U.S.?
Israel is developing them jointly with the U.S.
Gotcha.
Okay. Real quickly, congratulations to George from Tavares. He won tonight's bottle of Roxy Pacifics. Don't forget, folks, we'll do it again tomorrow night, every show between now and Christmas. I want to ask one more question, and then I want to go to Nostradamus, who has some stuff for us, Abe. I heard on the radio today that there's rumors that Saudi Arabia and Israel are working on at least a plan to have a joint military operation against Iran, should they feel the necessity. Have you heard any of the same?
I haven't heard that specific report, but I believe it. I'd actually be surprised if it's not happening. I think that both countries are alarmed by this. You know, everybody, the cliche in the Middle East is the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Right.
I think that right now the Iranian enemy is considered so dangerous that it's even countries such as Israel and the Saudis that were not on good terms are going to have to band together. It's, you know, the one thing that does not get discussed at all is the ethnic and racial element of this. There is a great deal of hatred between the Persians and the Arabs.
Right.
This, as far as I know, goes back to some battle 1,400 years ago when the Arabs defeated the Persians, and the Persians have never let them forget it.
Yeah.
So, look, that's the Middle East. There are ancient feuds and ancient ethnic rivalries, and that's one of the elements here.
Yeah. I believe it was Saddam Hussein's uncle who said something to the effect of the plagues of the Middle East are the flies, the Jews, and the Arabs. Excuse me, the flies, the Jews, and the Persians. I'm sorry, the Persians. Yeah. So,
yeah.
And then, of course, you mix in with that the Shia-Sunni Islam feud, and you really have a volatile combination there.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's go to Nostradamus. Nostradamus, you've got some interesting stuff to talk with Abe about.
Yeah, Abe, you may know it is this time of year that Time magazine starts to figure out who their person of the year is going to be. And they were floating the name of Bibi Netanyahu as one of about three dozen candidates on their website. In fact, they have each of these candidates going head-to-head to see who the readers like. They put Bibi up against Bashar Assad. Do you think he has any chance of becoming the next man of the year?
Well, I'm trying to think who else they've chosen recently as man of the year. Yeah. I don't think it's as relevant as it was a few years ago when people seemed to pay a lot more attention to it.
Yeah.
But if they put him in the same category as Bashar Assad, wow, that's really something.
Well, last year's winner was Obama. He won in 08 and 12. And there hasn't been a back-to-back winner in, I think, 4 or 5 decades.
I think he was working hard on getting it today. But now that he's mentioned Assad, you know, the UN has just now called him a war criminal. And of course, the United States has made it possible for this war criminal to stay in power. But on a more serious note, Abe, I believe I saw a story where there's some worry that the Syrian conflict is bleeding over into Lebanon. Evidently, there was a bombing or something in Lebanon that the fears are that it originated in Syria. Are you up on that? Are you familiar with what I'm trying to talk about here?
Sure. There was a bombing of actually a fairly high Hezbollah commander. And immediately, as always happens in these cases, they blamed Israel, even though it was pretty obviously not an Israeli operation. And it's, this Hezbollah, which is up to its neck in the Syrian action, is also the main power in Lebanon these days. So the anybody that wants to weaken Hezbollah in Syria has, there's a big target waiting for them, which is Hezbollah in Lebanon. It's the same organization. It's all one big wholly owned subsidiary of Iran. And that's so there's an address to send your bombs to. If you can't get them against the Hezbollah forces in Syria, you can always go after them in Lebanon, which is actually where they're headquartered.
Okay. Nostradamus.
Yeah, another question about Bibi Netanyahu. He has decided not to attend Nelson Mandela's funeral, and he cited the cost of travel. Personally, I think it's because he doesn't want to be in a selfie with President Obama. But has he had any kind of grief or blowback from the world community over that decision?
There has been some blowback. I think it's a little bit more complicated than people are giving it, than the way people are sizing it up. Nelson Mandela had a very complex relationship with Israel. To begin with, he's somebody who, during his days running the African National Congress, he embraced Yasser Arafat. He considered the ANC to be comrades of the PLO. He was Soviet-backed. He had some absolutely vile things to say about Israel along the way. And he also, notably, he would not renounce terror, which struck the Israelis, particularly, it seemed noteworthy to the Israelis. On the other hand, once he got out of prison, he was a different man.
Yeah.
And he governed. You've got to give him a lot of credit for the way he stepped up. And I think that interestingly, one area where Netanyahu is getting blowback is actually from the Jewish community of South Africa, which felt that Mandela was very good at protecting them, protecting their interests during a time when there could have been tremendous social upheaval. But I think that the reasons go beyond cost. I think that when that was cited as the reason, it was cited as a reason in order to avoid discussing the complexities of the real reasons why he wouldn't go.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if Obama being there and playing a prominent role in the whole thing didn't have something to do with it as well. Nostradamus, before we let you go?
No, just have fun in the rest of your time here in the States, Abe, and safe travel back.
Thank you. Okay.
Abe, I want to ask you a couple of questions about things that are not having to do with what we've been talking about. First is this art trove that was found in an apartment in Munich, 1,200 or 1,400 pieces of artwork. And obviously Israel wants to get what's theirs back. How common is this, do you think?
This is a big issue, not so much from the standpoint of Israel, but from the standpoint of individual Jews who had their art collections and other,
belongings,
all kinds of things,
property.
All kinds of property looted by the Nazis.
Yeah.
And then afterwards it ended up in the hands of various collectors, and the rightful owners, thinking that this, many times thinking that these works had been destroyed, did not try to find these things until suddenly now, years and years later, they show up on auction sites. They show up in, they're discovered by, or collectors come forward announcing that they have these particular works of art. A big problem with this, ordinarily you'd have issues of statutes of limitations and the like, but, you know, World War II and the Holocaust kind of defy conventional legal approaches. I don't know that when you're talking about systemic looting and then murdering of the former owners of art, when you can just kind of dryly say, well, statute of limitations, sorry, you're out of luck.
Right.
So that's one of the reasons there's some difficulty here, is that I think they're trying to come up with a fair legal structure for how to resolve these sorts of disputes.
Okay. There was one other thing I wanted to bring up, and that is Yasser Arafat. You know, his widow says that he was poisoned by, and I forget the name of the poison. You know what I'm talking about.
Polonium.
Polonium.
Yeah,
that's
it.
The stuff. And which is, if you are poisoned by polonium fatally, there are distinct signs on your body. They had him exhumed. They didn't find the polonium. Evidently, the Swiss found traces of it in his clothing. The French did not find any polonium in his body, but the French did find that he had what we call cirrhosis of the liver, and it turns out maybe the man was poisoned, but that poison was old poison whiskey, not polonium, Abe.
There was so much speculation around the various possibilities of cause of death for Yasser Arafat. There's a school of thought that is that he died of AIDS, and that actually is believed by a great number of fairly reliable people. I mean, this polonium thing is nonsense. It's just it's a publicity stunt.
Right. And it's spearheaded by his widow. I'm sorry, Abe, I cut you off. Yeah.
No, that's okay. I said it may very well have been AIDS.
How do you like that?
He wasn't a young man. I mean, he could have died.
Yeah, he was in his 70s.
Yeah, but in either case, whether it's cirrhosis of the liver or AIDS, it would indicate that he was doing something that the Muslim religion frowns highly upon. No doubt, Abe?
That would, if in either one of those cases, yes, that would be the case.
All right.
I'm no expert on Islam, but that much I think I know.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Abe. We'll leave it there for tonight. We really appreciate you. Enjoy your visit to the United States. Enjoy the white Christmas, if you will, and Hanukkah as it's wrapping up in New York. And once again, we appreciate you so much being with us.
Thank you, as always.
All right. Stay safe, Abe.
Yep. Stay safe, and God bless you. Okay, folks, don't go away yet, because we still have another segment to go. We are the American Adversaries. It is still drive time out there, even though it's already dark. Okay, so don't go away.
You know, of course, American Adversaries are here Sunday through Friday at 5 o'clock, all those days. Saturday, we take a break. On Sunday night, we go for 3 hours. And hopefully, my voice will be better when we get back.
This is Patricia Summerlin. When I'm in Central Florida, I like to snuggle with three sexy humps. Christopher Hart, Nosta Dennis, and Lair Adams. Ooh, the American Adversaries on News Talk 660 WORL. These guys stimulate my brain. Oh, yeah.
Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. Lair Adams and Christopher Hart here in the studio with you. We're going to spend the last few minutes tonight talking to Don Hodgins, because he's got a great tournament, golf tournament, coming up Thursday to benefit veterans. And I invite you folks to come out and help him out. Hey, Don, welcome to the show this afternoon.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here, as always.
Well, we appreciate you, sir, for doing what you're doing. And this isn't the first time you've done this.
No, my wife and I started this 11 years ago, so of course it's our 11th year anniversary, celebrating 10 years last year. Each year it seems to get better. Of course, you know, you can't really say that. I really can't say that because every year we entertain our heroes, the men and women. It's we're just honored and full of pride.
Now, I understand this is free. This tournament is free to any veteran. And please tell us when and where it is.
Absolutely. This tournament is free to every single man and woman veteran. It's at Wakaba Golf Course. It's Thursday, the 12th, 12, 12, 13. Starts at around 7:15 with ceremonies. And I got to tell you, Brio Tuscan Grill out of Winter Park is supplying, as they do every year, an unbelievable breakfast, not your normal toast and water, but a full slate of breakfast and lunch. And the heroes can have breakfast and lunch. We have two ceremonies. Wakaiva has hosted it the last three or four years. I've done a great job. You know I'm pushing our folks here because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be able to do this because no charge to any veteran. It's absolutely free, no gimmicks. And so we go around. Hopefully some people in our neighborhood and stuff will help donate, and they do. And our monies will go to the VA in Orlando, the VA in Tampa, and also we've added the post-traumatic people, the heroes
Great.
That are just really hurt and suffering in the mind section. So, but we'll have 250 heroes out here Thursday. It's unbelievable.
Now, where can people go? Do you have a website where people can go to pre-register this, and can they register that very morning?
They can register if they walk up. We never turn a hero away. The website is www.thankyouveteransgolf.com. Thankyouveteransgolf.com. Everything's on there. It's easy to sign up. We have now just the PM session open. That starts about 1:30. One of the neatest things that we have, this group in East Florida, they fly in with their helicopters.
Oh, wow.
Great.
Tony, it's anywhere from one to three helicopters, Hueys. And I got to tell you, the rush last year and the year before, there wasn't a dry eye in the crowd.
I tell you, when those Hueys come up, you feel the thumping of the blades in your chest. It's a powerful experience.
Yeah, and one of the other most important things is that we receive, and that's why it's so wonderful for Sandy and I and the sponsors and all the volunteers, and they're so important too, and the head pro, Phil Washington, has just done a great job, is that we have so many Vietnam veterans that come that they've seen people, haven't seen them since Vietnam, but they're saying, my God, we just can't believe this. We were treated so like a bunch of dogs when we came home, but this helps the pain. And I tell you what, hits your heart.
It sure does. And this is a great thing that you're doing, Don. And once again, folks, this is Thursday at the Wakaiva Golf Club, and you can find out more information at thankyouveteransgolf.com. That's thankyouveteransgolf.com. And, Don, we wish you all the luck in the world, and by all means, keep doing stuff like this. And, by the way, here's a friend of yours right here, Marshall.
Hey. Thanks so much, Don. We appreciate everything you do. Sorry I couldn't make it. I was a little stuck in traffic. But we're all looking forward to your golf tournament.
That's where life is sometimes, but thank you so much. And the support of you and your station and your whole crew, it takes all of us, men and women, children, to get this stuff done. And one other thing we're doing, we're teaching more kids how to...
Gotta go, Don. I'm sorry. We'll talk to you later. Night, everybody.
News Talk 660 WORL. Altamont Springs, Orlando. 660 WORL.com. Division of Salem Communications. On the NASDAQ is...